This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening to a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Last September, on the anniversary of the September 11th attacks, our consulate in Benghazi, Libya, was attacked. There's been a lot of controversy and a lot of politicization of what happened on that night. And in the last week, there have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how the Obama administration handled getting the information out. Former U.S. Representative to the United Nations, Susan Rice, and what she said, what the CIA was saying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I keep thinking to myself every time I see this controversy continue to be blown up, that people are forgetting the four men who died in that attack. Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods were three of them. And the fourth was Ambassador Christopher Stevens. Austin Tishner knew Chris Stevens for a long time. Austin is now an actor, director, playwright, one of the people who runs the Reduced Shakespeare Company, for whom he's written 8 stage comedies about American history and the Bible and all the great books and the complete world of sports. But today we're going to leave all of that aside and talk a little bit about his longtime friend, Chris Stevens. Austin, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks. It's great to be talking to you.
When did you and Chris first meet?
Chris and I met in high school in Northern California, Piedmont High, and he moved there, I think, when we were juniors, and he quickly made an impression both academically and socially. He was a good student. He was handsome and disgustingly blonde, and very popular with the girls, and editor of the school paper, and a musician, and he played tennis. He was quite an all-around guy.
Now, I know in high school it's always silly to ask somebody, what do you want to do with your life? Because if they had asked you and me, we probably would not have said, we're going to go on and do what we're actually doing now. Was there any indication from Chris that he eventually wanted to lead a life in the Foreign Service?
There actually was. He was a member. He participated in the American Field Service, AFS, when he was a junior or a senior. There's a great picture in our junior yearbook of a picture of Chris, and it says this summer Chris will be spending the summer abroad. Well, he spent the rest of his life abroad, almost, you know, from the AFS, and then right out of college he joined the Peace Corps, and then ultimately getting into the State Department. He loved traveling, and when he taught English. He was based in Morocco, I guess, after college. Where he first started teaching English to the locals there, and had to pick up various Arabic dialects, including Berber, and that's when he began to fall in love with that part of the world.
All right, let me go back to high school and then on to college, where you guys went to school together, right?
It was so funny. We weren't close buddies in high school, although we did shows together because we were both in the music department, and so we were in the definitive high school productions of The Mikado and The Music Man, and we did musicals in college too. We ended up going to University of California, Berkeley. We ended up pledging the same fraternity. We ended up being roommates for 2 years, and then we moved out of the house and we each got apartments in the same building off campus. We also shared a birthday. We were born on the exact same day. So,
wow.
It's been a very tight, close bond over the years, even though we wouldn't physically see each other for a long time. I was just going through a stack of letters that his mother gave me out of his personal effects. He saved all the letters that I mailed him over the years, and I was just going through our emails last night, you know, in preparation to talk to you. It's an enormous loss, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, in the midst of all this noise about what did or did not happen there, that you're focusing on the people who died.
What did he tell you about his overseas adventures in those letters?
Well, he would always downplay the danger. I would always end the letter with some variation of, please keep your head down. and because he was stationed in all, you know, the hot spots of the Middle East, Damascus, Tripoli, Jerusalem, and I'm sure there are others I'm forgetting. But that was the part of the world he loved. I mean, people have asked me, you know, since last September, well, was he reckless? Was he foolhardy? And I no, he wasn't. He was well aware of the dangers, and he downplayed them to us. Because I don't think he wanted people to worry, but also that's just not who he was. That's not the stuff he was focused on. It's a terrible analogy, but people say to me, how can you live in California with those earthquakes? Well, that's not what I see when I lived in California. You know, it's a terrible analogy. That's not what Chris saw when he was over there. He was not about the danger. He was about the people, and he loved the people over there. The last time I did see him physically was in 2010, and we were both in Washington, D.C., and he thought this was before he was made the interim liaison to the interim government over there, and he was talking about how he just loved the people over there, and the Libyan people deserved better than what they were getting under the leadership of Gaddafi. So it didn't surprise me at all then when he was asked to be the liaison to the interim government that he would say yes to that, that he would accept that post, because I already knew his feelings for the people over there and the area.
So he was there while the Arab Spring was going on and then being part of whatever is going to become of Libya post-Gaddafi.
Yeah, exactly. He was named to the America's liaison to the interim government, and because of it's been one of the privileges of the last 9 months to meet people who actually worked with Chris. I knew him socially, personally, as an old friend, but I didn't know him professionally at all. But I've met diplomats, State Department officials, military personnel, journalists who knew Chris in his professional capacity. And they said to me that they knew him as a great an analyzer of the information that was being fed, a great working knowledge of the people on the ground, the people in the position, some of the people in the interim government were people Chris knew from the previous Gaddafi government when he was stationed there, who had been educated in America, who wanted a better, you know, government for Libya. So he was going over there to help out basically old friends and colleagues.
I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation here that this whole thing has been gotten out of control in terms of being politicized by people all over the spectrum. But part of the story that really disgusted me was in the month or so after Chris and the other three died, there were attacks on his personal life, which must have revolted you as well.
Well, all of it has revolted me and disgusted me on many levels. I mean, not only are they forgetting the people in the current, making the current bit of noise about this, about what happened there, are forgetting not only Chris and his three colleagues who died, but they're forgetting all of the diplomatic State Department and military personnel who have died under similar embassy attacks going back 20 years. And so they seem to be singling out this one for political reasons, which I don't understand. The attacks on Chris in the fall were silly, and I don't think they had any lasting effect, because I really only heard a couple of things. They were trying to disparage him. Oh, the fact that he was single and in his 50s, that was somehow suspicious of something. I knew many of the women that he tried to have relationships with, and it ultimately didn't take, because he was a professional man who loved his job, and he was always attracted to professional women who loved their jobs. And nobody was going to sacrifice. I mean, I'm in a marriage right now with a professional woman, and it's hard juggling our life. I can't imagine what it's like juggling the life of being a diplomat in some of the hottest spots of the world.
Very, very well said. Well, I've listened to your podcast. Austin not only is one of the key guys in the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but also does their Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast every week. Hundreds of of podcasts thus far, and he devoted one last fall to his friend Chris Stevens, and I heard you talking about him as the embodiment of humor and a guy who had grace under pressure, and just made me wish I knew the guy as well as you did, and I appreciate you coming on here today to share some of your memories of him, Austin.
I'm happy to talk about Chris whenever, wherever.
Thanks. Austin Tischner, long time, I can almost say lifetime friend. You know somebody since high school, that's a lifetime. Lifetime friend of the late Ambassador Chris Stevens, one of the four who died at our consulate in Benghazi last September. I'm Paul Harris. America.